Good morning, this is Roxanne Ferguson.
And I'm Seal Rosmalski. We're honored to serve as your hosts for the
Pathways to Service Rotary Roadshow.
Right here in Wilmington, Delaware, USA.
You know, Rotary International has been making a difference for over 112 years now since Paul Harris first founded the organization in 1905. And our local clubs here in District 7630 kicked things off in Delaware 10 years later in 1915. That's quite a legacy.
Yes, it is. And our hope here is to provide meaningful shows sharing the impact of Rotary and offer insight to those groups, organizations, and individuals living the Rotary motto of service above self.
Thank you for joining us today on WDEL 101.7 FM or 1150 AM on your radio dial. You can listen to podcasts of our programs by simply going to www.rotary7630.org and clicking on Pathways to Service and then onto the radio tower. You can also reach us by sending us an email to CEILROZ@Verizon.net. If you think of interesting topics you think we should be covering.
Good morning and welcome to Pathways to Service, your Rotary radio show. I'm Roxanne.
And I'm Seal. And today we have with us by phone from downstate, past District Governor Dr. Susan Giovi and Elena Aiken. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, girls.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Good.
Very good. Had my coffee, ready to go. So, Susan,
Okay. You
brought a project to our attention called Kenya Gather, and a young lady who is heading up that project. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how this came to your attention?
Well, one of our club members' wife teaches at Cape Henlopen High School, and Jim came to me and said, gee, you know, my wife's friend at Cape has this crazy project she's gotten involved in Kenya, something to do with teaching women how to sew. So I said, yeah, sure. So this nice lady came in with her husband for breakfast on a Friday morning and told us all about this dream idea she had of starting a sewing school in this part of Kenya, in the northwest region of Kenya, in the Turkwell region. And she just thought it was just a tiny little project until we started thinking about it. And I said to the club, this is a project that we could very easily become a global grant project for Rotary International.
And what are the conditions for a global grant?
Well, the biggest one, and is probably the hardest, well, there are two. One is a community assessment must be done, boots on the ground kind of thing, to demonstrate the need for the global grant project, and that's demanded and mandated by the Rotary Foundation. The second is that we as the international partners for the project must find a host club in Kenya. They don't have to be in the same region of the project, but they should be in Kenya somewhere, who will act as the overseers and the good stewards of the money for the project, for the whole project, and also help us write the mandated, updated reports, the periodic reports for Rotary Foundation.
Okay. Elena, do you happen to be a Rotarian?
I am an honorary status one.
And a Paul Harris Fellow.
And a Paul Harris Fellow. Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
That's all, Susan.
So this started as your idea. Tell us about it.
Well, I have always, I think since I was a little girl, wanted to be a missionary to Africa somewhere. But I, as my husband said, married the wrong man for that. And when our church decided to go to Kenya, I jumped on board with that. I told him, honey, we're going to Kenya. And he said, no, we are not. You are. And so I went with a small group over there. I saw this area called West Pokot, where the tribal people, illiterate, uneducated, living off the land in a desert, horrible living conditions. The women are just horribly oppressed. And I saw so many machines while I was there that were broken and unused, and it just broke my heart. Since I teach sewing at the high school level, I know what teaching a creative and employable skill will do. So I decided I needed to do something about it. I called my husband, who does not want to be going to these third world countries, and asked him if we as a family could live there for the summer. And he agreed, and we all packed up and lived there for 5 weeks and just wow. invested all of our time in teaching these women how to sew, and brought good sewing machines with us as well. So that was the changing factor. Like, it was just suddenly, it was this magical thing that had happened. And got a phone call when we were landing, asking if we would come present to the Rotary Club the next morning. And so my husband and I showed up and told him everything that we had experienced while we were there, and the transformation in the women who had gone from being very oppressed to being very excited about these new skills they were learning, that there was somebody that was willing to teach them something, and that they could make money off of it. It was magical.
And as you said, employable skills. So they were able to sell the products you were teaching them to make?
They did. We actually I followed them to the market. So we're deep into the Pocot area, deep into it. And there were people that were coming around standing and staring at us at the market. They had never seen a white person before.
Wow.
They just could not wrap their minds around what a white, they were like, you look just like us, but you don't.
Yeah.
It was mind boggling, but we were able to sell a couple skirts, and that the women had made, and all of it was a precursor to them learning to sew school uniforms, because school uniforms are required for children to go to school. And that was the long-term vision, was for them to be able to do tailoring, to custom fit clothes. There's not a whole lot of new clothing in that area, so you're buying secondhand clothes that may or may not fit. So tailoring was going to be a big moneymaker, as well as school uniforms. And that was our plan.
Excellent. And I take it went well.
Yeah, and my vision was to build the school right there in that area. But there were some ownership issues with who would take over the school. And there's lots of struggles with corruption. And so that area just became unavailable to us. And then I found a different area that was wide open, begging for us to come. Actually, it was derived from the leaders. I had just started at a small church and brought a couple sewing machines to just start a community sewing group again. And I hired a sewing teacher that I had met when I was there last time, who I really just thought the whole world of. And we just were starting in the old mud-built church that had no electricity and no lighting and anything like that. And all of the people were walking hours, and I mean hours. People were walking hours to see these couple sewing machines I had set up.
Wow.
And it blew my mind. I mean, I had like a 14-year-old girl who was the fourth wife of a 60-year-old man who had not finished school and just wanted to learn something. And so I'm sitting there like, this has to be better than this. And the Rotary Club has been keeping abreast of everything I've been doing. So when the local leaders from this area came and said, you need to build a boarding school, because our women are walking hours every day and they can't do this every day. You need to build a boarding school. I jumped on it, and the Rotary Club was right there saying, yes, let's do this. And so they've been an active role in everything that I've been doing there. And we have purchased the building. I spent the summer renovating, repairing, fixing up the building. It's going to be ready probably in another month to move into the school. We have been given dormitories. That the compound that we're working within is just the Kenya General Electric compound. So it's government-owned land that we've been designated to have to build a school, because they want schools there. And so there's houses that were built for the workers. They're in poor condition, but they were given to us. So we have a great foundation to start with, providing dormitories for adult education, which is so unheard of in that area, especially with the illiteracy that's going on. This group of people, they're so tired of people that want to hire people. They find out that they don't have any job skills, or they're women and they just refuse to hire them. So they can't believe they're fortunate that somebody would come along and want to teach them something so that they can employ themselves.
That's really wonderful.
That's awesome. That really is awesome.
So you started out as a woman who wanted to bring a couple of sewing machines and teach a few skills. And now you've got a boarding school.
Yes. It's insane. And I'm already looking at hiring a second sewing teacher.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, the people are coming. Like, I just got a list from the sewing teacher, and she just moved down to where the sewing school is. Just moved down, and she has 19 students already signed up within a week of her moving down there. And then there's men that want to come, too.
Really?
So that I thought was pretty exciting. And my construction manager is watching this, and he's like, who are these men? What are they going to do? And then he was surprised that men were able to sew and learn as quickly as they had. And he was surprised that they were serious about it. But they are. It's a whole group of them. And they're like, okay, so sewing school's not enough. I was working with the local laborers that we hired were like, okay, Elena, are you going to build a driving school for us? Can you build a masonry school for us?
Can you
teach us all these skills? And I said,
wow.
Sure. In time, we will get all of these things done so that you guys aren't left with nothing. Because I'm telling you, there is the closest town is 3 hours drive away, and they don't have cars there. Like, they walk everywhere. So I was like, we can do these things. And I've gotten the county government. There was a national government representative while we were there, and he just declared to everybody, let this woman do what she wants to do and do not give her any trouble, because this is a good thing.
It is a great thing.
Well, and that's one of the things I was going to ask about. Are there any conflicts, or are you experiencing any resistance from different areas? Because you said you started in one area and you went to another place that was more wide open and got some buildings.
Well, yes, there's struggles everywhere in that area. Things that should be easy are extremely difficult. One of the problems we had in the first area is because the church owned the land, and I was told if you build the school here, the church is just going to take it over, and you have no guarantee that it's going to stay a school. So that was some of the struggle. The other struggle is that there's local politicians and leaders who are just trying their darndest to get as much money out of the people as they can, and they don't think in terms of what's good for my community. They're just, for example, we needed sand to mix with the concrete.
Yeah.
Sand is a free local thing. No, the elders in the land are saying, no, you have to pay us money to get this free sand or the logs. And so we were struggling just to not be ripped off every turn we get, because I have limited resources. I have the amount of money that I had raised since November saved up to work on this. And I knew that the global grant was coming. I just didn't have it yet. And so I was running out of money while I was there, because I wanted to just invest in getting the school done, because I could wait, but I don't want to wait. There's too many people lined up to learn. So I'm like, let me just figure out where the money's going to come from, and we'll just invest in getting this building done. And then we'll adjust the grants and meet the needs for the dormitories. So that's what we're working on.
Yeah, and you're not there. Go ahead, Susan.
As we know, Rotary International, the foundation, will not include purchasing or building a building, an edifice of any kind. And so her work on the structure kind of precedes the grant itself. So the grant is going to purchase the sewing machines, the equipment, the materials, the dress patterns, the desks, the cutting boards, all of that kind of equipment is what the grant will provide for these folks, for these people.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And while you're not there, you had to trust in somebody who was there to kind of oversee and make sure this continued.
Everyone kept telling me over and over and over again, do not trust anyone. No work can get done without you being there. And I do not understand the sovereignty of God in all things. But there was this man, James, who was just managing a construction site at the industrial level there. He saw what we were struggling with. He heard what Kenya Gather was about. And he said, if there is any way at all I can serve and be part of this, please allow me to. And so as I was talking to him, I realized he's just a construction manager, and he just wants to see things done well. And I worked with him closely for the 3 weeks I was there. I saw how he handled his men. I saw how he interacted with people. I saw that he just stayed out of all of the local politics and drama and was never about himself. He was always just there to serve others. It stood out so much to me that I just was like, I need to continue this work. He asked why should the work stop because you go? Let us continue the work. And I've been able to send a sum of money to him and then see exactly everywhere that money went. He sends me 6,000 pictures of everything that's being done, the men that are there.
That's fantastic.
Working. He's been my best friend in Kenya.
So when do you get to go back?
I'm going back in December. We leave Christmas Eve, and I'll arrive on Christmas Day and stay until January 6th. And I think it's supposed to be the official opening of the school. I'm not sure how we're going to do that yet because we don't have the dormitories and all those things figured out. But we're going to do something special with the school because the building will be ready.
I think the other question to ask her is how many times has her husband been back there with her?
That's true.
That's a great question.
Yeah, it is.
So how many times has he been back?
He went back this past spring break with me, and he's my no man. Like, I can count on him to say no to anything. So when these people come up and are like, we need money for this, he's like, no.
There you go. That's awesome.
Yeah, and my daughter, she's 17. She's been with me for every single trip except for one. So I think this was my last trip was my fifth or sixth time going in the past 2.5 years. So I go every chance I can get. And I usually bring some students with me from school. My students have been listening to talk about Kenya. So every trip I bring a teenager or two so that they can just experience what I've been talking about. And they're all blown away by it. They can't figure out how they're going to, like, they want to come back. And I'm like, it's been expensive. And this, I had a student that was third time she's gone with me. She went as a junior, as a senior. Now she's a freshman in college. And this past summer, she went with me for her third time and just has a very clear vision. She's going to go to medical school and be a doctor and wants to go back and help this area because they just don't have the education to know how to take care of themselves. And there's just a lot that can be done with someone who wants to be a doctor that's there.
Well, that's fantastic. And I guess a little bit of a reality check for some of the youth that we have who don't know what it's like to struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are when the villagers don't know that you're coming, you can go just see how they really live. And there are a lot of children that are running around that are not old enough to be running around completely naked with swollen bellies and really just no concept of where their next meal is coming from. And there are women who look living conditions are horrible. So you look at a woman and you think she's an old woman and she's like 40. Wow. Because the sun is so harsh and and she looks like an old woman and she's begging for food because she has no way. Like, the other problem is they practice polygamy, but they're also a warrior culture. So the Pocot and the Turkana and neighboring tribes, they war with each other. So they will kill each other and steal each other's animals. So if you kill one warrior, there goes 3 or 4 wives who had a husband taking care of all of them. Mm. But now there's 3 or 4 widows.
Oh, wow.
And no income. No way of supporting themselves. It's the most horrible thing I've ever seen. So now, because this school is right there along the border of the Pocot and the Turkana tribes, the government is extremely invested and interested in us being there because they've learned that when there's education between the two tribes, it brings peace.
Absolutely.
You're not only bringing industry, you're facilitating social change.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's neat. It's just neat to see. And then some of the workers for my school have been from the Turkana tribe. And even though it's in Pocot territory, they've come and they've worked and they've invested and see that what they're doing is investing in the future. And then we had a hard time. I thought locals would come volunteer to work with us and they wouldn't, but there was children everywhere. And the children saw us working hard, carrying stones in for the foundation. And they just started carrying them in on their heads. And they didn't care. They just said, adults are working. We need to work.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
We carried them all in. We bought them all sodas and showed them, you know what? If you work, you get to eat. And they were the happiest kids in the whole world with their little sodas and mandazis.
I have a couple of teenagers I want you to meet.
Yeah.
I'm going to take them all with me. They will have a blast. And the area is breathtakingly beautiful. Like, I love being there. It is so peaceful. It's in the middle of the absolute ends of the earth. Nowhere. It's nowhere land. And then it's just paradise. The mountains are breathtaking. There's a dam that was built to create the hydroelectric plant. And so there's fishing there. There's alligators, which you can go swimming in the dam, but I would avoid the alligator area, crocodile area.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
There's a lot of high adventure going on. So every teenager I've ever taken has absolutely had a blast. So I am open to taking them all with me.
And I would imagine that your accommodations are okay?
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, they're guest houses that were built 30 years ago by the French, and they are not well taken care of. So last last summer when I was there, the toilet leaked, and the guy that was owned the house was like, well, I put tape around it. I don't know why it leaked. So the whole house flooded, and I just was like, I'm not staying down here anymore, and I moved up into the mountain and stayed in a much cooler area, but there was no running water there. So I ended up paying for there to be running water somewhere so I could just take a shower. But we have since found better accommodations, and they're fine. It's nice houses. They're just 30 years old, not loved. But there's mosquito nets, and we survive. And there's running water. And so what if it's brown? I guess it doesn't even matter. You drink it anyway.
Well, I imagine you have to learn how to get along and stay safe.
Well, I've never felt endangered there ever. I don't know. Like, I know it's a warring culture, but there's a huge military presence there. And this area is very invested in there being peace. So there's military, police, there's military, there's police. They're just everywhere. I've walked around the compound early in the morning. I've never, ever, ever felt endangered ever. Plus, we're visitors, and visitors are a huge deal over there. They're sacred to them. They would never cause any harm to a visitor.
That's wonderful.
They know we're coming to bring good things to them, so they want to protect us and look out for us, too.
Well, tell some of the listening Rotarians out there, if they're interested in learning more or possibly accompanying you on one of your trips, how they would reach out to you.
Well, you can email me at kenyagather@gmail.com, but I also have a website, kenyagather.org, and my contact information is on there. And I don't know, you want my phone number too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or contact me through DACDB.
Okay.
Elena's phone number is in DACDB, which is our directory for our fellow Rotarians.
Wonderful. And I would think that there are some opportunities for Rotary clubs to be of assistance. And Dr. Giovi, how would you say that they can best be of assistance to this project?
Contact me. There's always the money piece that we could use funds, which will be matched by the district dollar for dollar with that beloved thing that I love, the district designated funds, DDF, as we so affectionately call it. There also might be opportunity to go to Kenya with Elena and do some hands-on work, too. So just reach out to the both of us, and we'll help you. Come and meet her, or she'll come and talk to a Rotary Club anywhere.
And that was going to be my next plea, is for you to make yourself available to speak to other Rotary Clubs in the area in case they're interested in either hearing about what you're doing or participating.
I could spend 600 hours talking about Kenya. I love it, and I'm very passionate about it, so I have no problem speaking to anyone that wants to hear about it. And especially with, like, trips that I go on. I am a teacher, so I follow the teacher schedule, and I go during spring breaks and Christmas breaks and as much as I can in the summertime. And I have so many people that I'm in contact with. It's very easy to – you don't have to actually travel with me. I have enough people along the way that you can meet me there. So, like, all of that is very doable.
Awesome.
And then I also have an extremely supportive high school. Nikki Miller, our principal at Keith & Lippin High School, is extremely supportive of Rotary Club, and she has always granted me permission to go speak anytime I've needed to. So,
oh, we just had an announcement that our friend here, Mrs. Aiken, will be the Interact Coordinator at Cape Henlopen High School for the Lewis Club and Rehoboth Beach Sunrise.
Great, yeah, fantastic. Wonderful. Congratulations. Well, thank you so much. We've enjoyed learning all about this. This is amazing, and big congratulations to you.
Thank you very much,
ladies.
Thanks for being with us this morning on Pathways to Service here on WDEL Radio. We are proud to broadcast this weekly program that focuses on the efforts of Rotary and other service organizations.
We would also like to thank our behind-the-scenes expert, WDEL's Jim Edwards, for his technical and editorial expertise. Join us next Sunday morning on WDEL Radio for the next edition of Pathways to Service. Please remember to email us any comments or suggestions at pathways@rotary.org.
7630.org. We would love to hear from you. This is Rotary Roadshow's hosts, Seal
and Roxanne, with a final good morning from Pathways to Service.